chapter 20. Let me ask, as you're turning to Genesis chapter 20, how many of you sinners have turned your heater on yet already? Raise your hand. Come on, if you've turned them on, be golly. Oh yeah, Miss Janelle's like, yeah, so praise God. Hallelujah. How many of y'all have started a fire in your fireplace? This past week, I had to come home for something in the middle of the day, and Kyle Jr. had gotten up, and he was in the shower, and it was kind of chilly in the house, and I was letting the dogs out, and I smelled something. I'm like, what, whoa, it smelled like something was burning. And I walked over, and that boy, listen, I don't know how it is in your house, but in my house, I touched the thermostat. Every now and then I'll let Amy touch the thermostat. Y'all know, yeah. She he was in the shower, and I said, son, I said, did you cut the heat on? He said, it's 63 degrees in the house. I'm freezing to death. I said, well, turn the heat up in the shower. You get ready to get out of the shower. Goodness gracious, it's not cold enough for heat yet, y'all. It's not. I'll tell you when it's cold enough to turn your heat on. All right. Genesis chapter 20. Last week we watched as Lot and his daughters moved from Zoar to the mountains in the area, the very place that the two angels had suggested they go before Sodom was destroyed. When they arrived to their new cave home, we learned that Lot had not finished making mistakes in his life. The first mistake Lot made was turning his face from God and his face to the world. We watched as Lot got drunk on two separate occasions and had relations with one of his daughters on each of those occasions. We learned that the daughters would become pregnant with sons, and their sons would birth the nations of the Moabites and the Ammonites. These two nations would be both a thorn in the side of Israel in the days to come, and their descendants would find themselves in the genealogy of Christ. Tonight we're going to watch as Adam makes the very same mistake again that he made many years ago in Egypt. Now let me just ask before I read. Let me ask you a question. Now, don't answer this. Don't raise your hand. Y'all, this is getting on my nerves. I'm sorry. But I want you to think with me. What is the biggest mistake you've ever made in your life? Don't say it. Y'all don't know what mine is. I'm not telling you what mine is. But I made a tremendous, tremendous mistake. This is how bad it was. I wish that I could go back in time and fix it. I wish that I never would have done. And I have played it over in my mind time and time and time and time again, the events that took place. And I wish that at some point I would have stopped and said, no. But I didn't. I made a tremendous, tremendous mistake. Now, y'all still with me? Stay with me now. That mistake that you just ran through in your mind, have you ever repeated it? Don't answer me. Have you ever repeated that same mistake? The mistake that I made, the greatest mistake of my life, I've never repeated. You know why? I learned from it. That mistake hurt me. It still hurts me to this day. Am I forgiven? Absolutely. God's forgiven me. But it still hurts. I don't ever want to do that again. I know it hurt me tremendously, and I know it hurt the heart of God tremendously. I don't ever want to do that again. Never. Ever, ever, ever again. Did I learn from it? Yes. Now let me ask you another question. Do y'all sin? Well, yeah. We sin every single day, right? The sin that you have in your life, that you're always tempted by, that you really kind of enjoy, but you know it's sin. Does that affect you the same way that your deepest regret does? Does it? Because we see where we are tonight, we see in Scripture, Abraham, the father of the Hebrew children, he would bring salvation to all people course, through God, he is getting ready to make the same, exact, same mistake again tonight that he made years ago. So let's look at Genesis chapter 20. From there, Abraham traveled to the region of the Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur. While he lived in Gerar, Abraham said about his wife, "She is my sister." So Abimelech, the king of Gerar, said to Sarah, had Sarah brought to him. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "You are about to die because of the woman you have taken. She is married. She is a married woman." Now Abimelech had not approached her, so he said, "Lord, would you destroy a nation even though it is innocent? Didn't he himself say to me, 'She is my sister,' and she herself said, 'He is my brother'? I did this with a clear conscience and clean hands." Then the Lord said to him in a dream, "Yes, I know that you did this with a clear conscience. I have also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I have not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet. And he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, know that you will certainly die, and all who are yours." Early in the morning, Abimelech got up, called his servants together, and personally told them all these things, and the men were terrified. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? How did I sin against you, have brought such enormous guilt on me and on my kingdom? You have done these things to me and should never be done. Abimelech also said to Abraham, "What did you intend when you did this thing?" Now understand here, it's hard to take reproach from somebody, isn't it? It's hard when somebody calls you in and they chew you out, isn't it? But can you imagine? Abraham is a prophet of God. He's walked with God. He's seen things that people just haven't seen at this time. And a lost man, a lost king, is just chewing him out. That's got to be hard to take. Abraham in verse 13, Abraham replied, "I thought there is absolutely no fear of God in this place. They will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife," so she was his half-sister. "So when God had me wander from my father's house, I said to her, 'Show your loyalty to me wherever we go, and say about me, he's my brother.' Then Abimelech took sheep and cattle and male female slaves, gave them to Abraham, and returned his wife Sarah to him. Abimelech said, 'Look, my land is before you. Settle wherever you want.' And to Sarah he said, 'Look, I am giving your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a verification of our honor to all who are with you. You are fully vindicated.' Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female slaves, so that they could bear children. For the Lord had completely closed the wombs of Abimelech's household on account of Sarah, Abraham's wife." Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word. Lord, we pray that you, again tonight, that you'll help us to see ourselves and see where this scripture tonight is just as relevant today as it was the day that was written. That we can see ourselves in this scripture, and help us, Lord, tonight to find ourselves, that we might be greater creations for you as we walk through these doors. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. First things first, it seems that we have a problem right from the get-go. It seems as if there might be like a missing page or maybe even a missing chapter. As we look at verse 1, look at verse 1, how strange verse 1 says. Look, it says, "From there, Abraham traveled to the region of the Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur." Now, it tells us that from that, Abraham traveled to Negev. From where? From where did he travel? Where was Abraham? What was he doing, and why did he go? Well, we have no real idea. There may be something missing here that we really don't know. It seems that Moses is in mid-thought as he wrote the first verse. There is something that should have crossed our minds, though, as we remember the last time Abraham found himself in a similar situation in Egypt. Remember that he went to Egypt on his own accord. He went on his own. God didn't tell him to go. Without God didn't tell him anything at all about going. Now, did anyone hear God telling Abraham to go to the Negev region near Gerar tonight? No. None of us heard that. We didn't see it in Scripture. So let me ask again, did you learn from your worst mistake? Does it seem like, to us, this is Abraham's worst mistake? Does it look like Abraham learned from the mistake he made in Egypt? It doesn't seem to. Warren Wiersbe titles Genesis chapter 20, Abraham the Troublemaker. If you want to do the same, you can. And says that to a person who does not know Abraham, they would think that he was the lost person and Abimelech was the saved person. We see Abraham lying and God speaking to Abimelech, the lost king. It certainly seems that way, doesn't it? To the average person, if you didn't show them anything, if you pulled this chapter out and you walked down the streets and you were asked, the average person on the street, okay, I want you to read this chapter. I want you to identify, and I used to hate doing this in school. You teachers used to make us do this. Identify who the bad person is in this chapter. I guarantee you most people would say, well, the bad person is Abraham. Well, who's the good person? Well, the good person has to be Abimelech because God is talking to Abimelech. We see him talking all throughout this chapter to Abimelech. But it's not the case. It's not the case at all. Now, again, Warren Wiersbe entitles this Abraham the Troublemaker. Now, what can we learn from Abraham the Troublemaker tonight? Because here he is, he's found himself in this place again. What can we learn from Abraham the Troublemaker? Number one, are you ready? This is deep theology here. I mean, I had to go to school to learn this. Y'all ready? Y'all with me? Everybody awake? Here we go. This is what we can learn. Believers do sin. Believers do sin. I know that there are some believers who think they're of, of higher grade, and they look down their nose at people when they fail and when they sin. And listen, especially when it goes through the gossip grapevine in this area, right? And you hear that so-and-so, boy, so-and-so did so-and-so. Oh, my goodness. And then in Sunday school, before Brother Frank gets in there, and they get in there and they start talking, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Right? Brother Frank, I'm not just picking on yours. So it could be any Sunday school class, right? And Janelle was late coming in, and they were just sitting there, did y'all hear about so-and-so? Yeah, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah. And then the whole class knows Tony. And they walk in the sanctuary on Sunday morning, and there she is sitting on the second row. Look at her. Look at her. I can't believe she came today after what she did. And listen, she posted it on Facebook. She ain't even ashamed of it. Look at her sitting right there. And we look down our nose. Listen, believers sin. Do you know what that means? You sanctimonious, self-serving Christian? That means that you are a sinner. Craig, you a sinner. Sinner. Miss Barbara? You a sinner. Desi? Sinner. Savannah? You the worst kind of sinner. You are bad, bad sinner. Ain't that woman on the front row? The preacher's. That's the preacher's wife. You a sinner. Big one. And she knows me, so she knows I'm a sinner. Right? Warren Wiersbe says, this chapter of Genesis would be an embarrassment to all of Christians except for one thing. Listen, y'all get this. The Bible tells the truth about all people. This is deep theology tonight, really. Listen. The Bible tells the truth about all people. And that includes God's people. Have y'all ever noticed that about the Bible? It tells the truth. Have you ever thought about how God has never tried to hide the nature of those He created? He's never tried. How those He chose sin in some very terrible manners, yet He forgives and restores them just the same in ways that we won't and we don't. Now, let's recall some of the most notorious sinners that Scripture does not try to hide tonight. Right there at the top of the list is Lot because of what he did last week. I mean, he got drunk and he had relations with his two daughters. That's horrible. I mean, that's terrible. Then we have Noah. Noah got drunk and exposed himself to his son. Some scholars believe that there may have been a homosexual act with one of his own boys. That's horrible. Moses lost his temper and beat the rock, and he lost his inheritance to the promised land. Now, we look at Moses and we think, oh, Moses, he was one of the forefathers. I mean, he was a great man. Yeah, but he had a temper problem. So do some of y'all at times. Right? Y'all got bad tempers. Trey, you got a bad temper? Okay, I'm just checking. Reagan, you got a bad temper? She's bad. But look, here's another one. David committed adultery. I mean, the man had all kind of wives, but he wanted another man's wife. He had an adulterous affair and killed the woman's husband. I mean, one of his mightiest warriors, he killed. Peter denied Jesus multiple times, and all the apostles ran when Jesus was arrested. And we're right here in the middle of this list. We got to throw Judas in there, right? Judas walked with Jesus for 3 years, saw all the miracles. As a matter of fact, Jesus empowered him to perform some of the same miracles that Jesus himself was performing, and yet he still sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Lost, went to hell, hung himself. These are notorious sins. Warren Wiersbe says this about all these men who sinned and failed God. These things are recorded not to encourage us to sin, but to warn us to beware of sin. After all, listen to this, church. If these great men of faith disobeyed the Lord, then we ordinary saints had better be careful. Right? Now, tonight we have to ask ourselves a question. Why did Abraham sin? And the very same sin again. I have to ask this again. Listen, did you learn from the greatest mistake you ever made in your life? I remember one of the dumbest things I ever did when I was a child. And I don't know, to the life, Miss Janelle, to this day I don't know why I did it. I really don't. I was at one of my neighbor's house, and I had a nail in my hand, Tony. It was an 8-penny nail. It was a corrugated, one of those curl nails. I'll never forget it. You know, it has a little twist on it. It's one of the nails you use for decking boards. And it had an aluminum outer coating on it, I guess, to make it last longer, galvanized. Michael's back there, yep, Mr. Carr, yep. And I had that nail in my hand, and I walked over to a socket. Why are y'all laughing? It was not funny. It wasn't funny. And I stuck that nail in the socket. And y'all, it lit me up. It lit me up. Everybody's got to go straight to the hair. But here's the kicker. Donna, here's the kicker. I did it again. I guess in my mind, I just could not believe that it just lit me up. And I mean, that, you know, okay, cause and effect. This putting in this caused this. There's no way. I mean, I've got to try this again. I did it again. I really did. But you know, from that day on, I learned a lesson. Do not stick a nail in the socket. Now, listen, later on, you know what I did? I was sitting around and I was like, this is a paperclip. It's not a nail. I wonder if it'll do the same thing. Guess what, y'all? It will. A paperclip. I didn't learn until I became a lineman that all metal is, guess what it is? It is a conductor. That's right, it's a conductor. And wood, dry wood is an insulator. But listen, get this. Wet wood is not an insulator. Okay? Y'all know how I know? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So listen, why? If God created us that we're smart and intelligent individuals, most of us, that we should learn from our mistakes, why is it that we, I mean, this is not a small one. This is a big one, Abraham. I mean, this might go on my list, Miss Desi. I've got a list, and there's some things that I've read and I've studied in Scripture. Tony, you probably have a list too. If not written on paper, you've got it in your mind. I'm just like, okay, God, I don't understand this. I don't get this. You know, I want to go ask Abraham, why, man? I mean, it's one of those, come on, your ESPN, come on, man, type of things. Why did you do, you had to have learned the first time, why did you do this again? So why did Abraham sin? Number one, there's no doubt that Abraham was a man who was chosen by God to do something absolutely amazing, to bring salvation to the world through his name. We saw weeks ago that God changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham. But that did not change his old nature. It didn't change his nature. We have no idea what happened after Abraham met with God and the two angels at the entrance of his tent a couple weeks ago. I mean, this is the first time we've seen Abraham since that encounter in front of the tent. But we can recall from our previous lessons that after a spiritual victory, which he had, can you imagine what kind of spiritual victory that was to sit at your tent and see, I mean, God and two angels come and spend time with them and feed them an unbelievable meal and hear what God had told Abraham, listen, I'm going to, this time next year, you're going to have an heir, you're going to have a son. I mean, that's an unbelievable spiritual victory. Now, remember what we said weeks ago about what happens after spiritual victories? Listen, we can recall from previous lessons that after a spiritual victory, we can count on one of three things taking place. Number one, more testing is coming. God's going to test us more. Number two, Satan will be tempting us. Or three, both. Now, one's bad enough. Okay, I just got out of testing. God just tested me to qualify me to be what he's created me to be. Golly, man, that was a tough test, but right after it, another test is coming, and another test is coming, and another test is coming, right? But you know, sometimes in between the tests, Satan comes a-tempting, because if you're worthy to be tested, you're worthy to be tempted. But what's worse than being tested or tempted is both of them at the same time. And what's hard for us as Christians is not knowing the difference sometimes, whether we're being tested or tempted. So Abraham, we see tonight, moved into what is enemy territory. Tonight we see him moving into enemy territory. Once again, we need to remember that God did not tell him to move. He just moved, just like when he went to Egypt. God didn't tell him to go to Egypt. Abraham moved from Hebron, which means fellowship. Hebron means fellowship. Fellowship with God. To the land of the Philistines. Abraham lived on the outskirts of the city of Gerar, but it was still a dangerous place to be. Warren Wiersbe says, this decision was not a wise one. After arriving in the new location, Abraham began to walk by sight and not by faith. Can I tell y'all that's what happens to us a lot of times? And it's one of, I mean, we just do it. And really, we don't realize when we do it. We stop walking by faith in God and start walking by sight. We qualify everything by what we see instead of the faith that God has put in us. And that's exactly what happened to Abraham. The proof of this is that he began to be afraid. We saw that in our scripture tonight. He began to be afraid. Listen to this. If you don't get anything else out of my message tonight, get this. Listen to what I'm about to say. Fear of man and faith in God cannot dwell together in the same heart, says Warren Wiersbe. Now listen to it again. Fear of man and faith in God cannot dwell together in the same heart. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." Now, we need to be cautious of man, but we don't need to fear any man. No man. Who is greater than the God that lives within you? Absolutely nobody. Absolutely nobody. Right? But tonight we see that Abraham feared the king. Now, why did Abraham sin? Why did Abraham sin? Abraham failed to properly judge his sin from Egypt. Okay, y'all with me? Now, let's go back for a second. What's the greatest mistake you ever made in all your life? Okay, there it is. Did it affect you? Did you properly judge that sin? Now how about these little sins? Well, it's just a little sin, Brother Kyle. It's just a little sin. Do you know why you continue to do those little sins? Same reason Abraham had left and gone somewhere God had told him not to go or didn't tell him to go. Warren Wiersbe says, in fact, this sin had grown worse. It wasn't even the same anymore. It had grown worse. It had metastasized. For now, Sarah shared in telling the lie with Abraham the night. First time, she didn't lie. She just went along with it. Tonight, we see Sarah herself lying with Abraham. Wiersbe says this, if our relationship with God is right, we will hate our sins. Do you hate your sins? Now, see, I hate that one that I'm not going to repeat that ever again. Never, ever again. You can't make me. You can't force me. You can't even cause me to drive close to where I was when I sinned. Every time I see a certain building, it makes my stomach just about to vomit because what I did. Do you regret your sin like that? Listen, Wiersbe says, if our relationship with God is not right, if our relationship with God is right, we will hate our sin, loathe ourselves for having sin, and despise the very thought and memory of our sins. Now, we saw what Abraham did in Egypt. Did he loathe his sin enough that he didn't repeat it? Did he despise that sin so much that he didn't repeat it? Nope. Brother Frank, he repeated it again, and he just went a step further. Now, what did this sin cost Abraham? We saw that he did it in Egypt. We saw that he did it again here in Gerar. What did it cost him? Because please understand something. Please understand something. We in our minds justify sin. We do. Well, everybody else, Timmy goes to school tomorrow, and all the boys, comes home, he gets busted, right? He looks at Miss Deborah, and he says, Deborah, listen, everybody else is doing it, right, Timmy? Well, and then he'll say this, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so, right? Isn't that what you say? Or we do this. This is the first time I got caught. Don't you love it when they say that? This is the first time I've gotten caught. Well, that means this is the first time you've got caught. You've done it many more times. You just hadn't gotten caught, right? Or we'll justify sin by this. Nobody's ever going to find out. Well, you just, dummy, Jesus already knows, right? We justify sin. What did this sin cost Abraham? All sin is going to cost you something. All sin is going to cost you something. Something Amy's granddaddy used to say all the time used to drive me absolutely crazy. Mr. Hallman, it was because it was absolutely true. Your sin, be careful, your sin will find you out. It's going to find you out. Sooner or later, it might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next week, next month, next year. But I promise you, your sin will find you out. And you can't sin and get by. That's right. She had to correct me. Thank you, honey. What did this sin cost Abraham? Number one, the sin cost Abraham his character. His character. Wiersbe said, this happened when Abraham stopped asking what is right and became asking what is safe. This happened in Abraham's life when he stopped asking, okay, God, what is right? And he started asking himself, what is safe? You remember, a couple months ago, we started talking about why Abraham was doing some of the things he was doing. He had a great responsibility because he took people on the journey that God didn't tell him to go. God told him that he was going to take him places and he was going to give him a land. He didn't tell him to take half the nation with him. But he took his, Sarah, and he took his father-in-law, and he took his servants, and he took animals, and he took all that. That's a great responsibility. It's hard enough just to provide for yourself and your spouse, but he's taking all these people on as a responsibility. So tonight, listen, he's got to think of safety. 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 What would put in his mind that he needed to be safe? Well, what happened last week? God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? But we see him moving towards a city that is right in the middle of sin. Listen, to all of the people in that region, Abraham had lost his character and his name, which to a person in the Middle East in that time, character and name was everything. And now it was lost with a lie to keep him safe, which God had promised to do. Church, fear of man took the place of faith in God. Fear of man took the place of faith in God. I wonder how many times we could evaluate something terrible taking place in somebody's life, and we could narrow it down to this equation here and look at the person and say, listen, would you ever in your life lose your faith in God? Every person would, absolutely not. God is God. God is good. God's God. And they probably say, just like we do, God is good all the time, and all the time as God is good. Well, let me ask you a question. Why did you fear this person so much that you had to lie? Why did you fear your boss so much when he asked you about something that took place that you had to lie? Why, when your next door neighbor asked you a question, did you fear the consequences so much that you had to lie? See, a lie is a lie. People can try to equate, and that's what we try to do in our mind. Well, it was just a little lie. And Abraham tried to do it tonight. I mean, this was just a little lie. I mean, it was a half-truth. I mean, she's not technically my sister. She's my half-sister. It was just a little lie. It wasn't a real lie. A lie is a lie, right? All lies are lies. Number two, the sin cost Abraham not only his character, but it cost him his testimony. Wiersbe asks, how could Abraham talk to his pagan neighbors about God, the God of faith and truth, when he himself had told such a huge lie? Church, how can you be a witness to the lost world when you are caught in a sin? Who in that area would now listen to Abraham's testimony of how God had just, what God had just done into his life? Who in their right mind would believe Abraham if he told them of the meeting of God and the angels at his tent? Miss Dessie, how many of those people would say, hey, listen, guys, I know I just got caught and all this stuff, but let me tell you how great God is. I was sitting in my tent, and it was in the afternoon. The sun was at high noon, and I was sitting there taking a nap, and God himself and two angels came to my tent. You know what they'd call him? A liar. And they'd have proof to support that because he had just lied. Listen, he lied to the king. Boy, that Abraham, boy, he's a lying liar, lying, lying, liar tale. As a matter of fact, this might be where that old liar, liar, pants on fire came from. Right here tonight. Talking about Abraham. So he lost his character. He lost his testimony. He lost something else, church. This sin tonight cost Abraham his ministry. Wiersbe says, instead of Abraham being a source of God's blessing, he was the cause of judgment. And just like in Egypt, when Abraham did this very same thing in Egypt, we see the same thing happen in the night. No babies were born in the entire time he was there. Church, God's people are to be a blessing, never to cause judgment. God's judgment was coming on these people, and it was because of God's people. That should never take place. We should always be a source of blessing, not a source of judgment. The last thing that this sin caused was an almost, a could have been. Y'all have those in your life where you think back to a time where things were going bad or things were going good, and you have this thought run through your mind. Well, it could have been. It could have been worse for Abraham, if not for God. It could have been a lot worse. Listen, this sin almost caused Abraham to lose his wife and his son, because most likely Sarah was pregnant at this time. Remember, a couple weeks ago, God had said, he said, by this time next year, we don't know how much time had elapsed, but we can probably fairly judge, you know, enough time had elapsed where Isaac was there. And he could have lost his heir, his son. Church, let me ask. You've all heard the saying, sin will cost you more than you ever thought you would pay, take you places you never thought you would ever go, and keep you longer than you ever thought you would stay. Now, we can avoid sin the very way Abraham could have avoided sin tonight, by walking by faith and not by sight, by truly understanding that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, and by knowing that the fear of man and faith cannot remain together in the heart of a believer. Now let me ask you, are you walking by faith and not by sight tonight? Are you walking by faith? That's what God wants from all of us. Are you walking by faith? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we thank you that we can see ourselves in your scripture. And this is just as relevant to us, Christians, in 2017 as it was when it was written. Now, Lord, this is your time. We're your people. This is your invitation. I pray, Lord, if this message is spoken to anybody, Lord, that these will be drawn to the altar to spend some time with you. Be with us right now, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this evening?